Critical Thought, Doxa will present both short and feature films from across Canada and the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. The hybrid in-person online festival will include both live and pre-recorded conversations with filmmakers, as well as some industry-specific events. Visit doxafestival.ca for more details.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians! That's right! Russians! Ruskies!
I let my head down, fuck it, I'm the man. I went and brought my family, I hope they understand. I went to paint my nails red, I know they gon' get mad. They said, look in the mirror, I'm more Michael Jackson bad. You think I'm a disappointment, I know you do. You don't gotta go and tell me twice, cause I know it's true. And here you go, guilt tripping me like my daddy do. That's why I cut him off, I couldn't deal with his issues. You said I got no problems, but you just don't know. You said to get your life together, boy, you're 24. So I let my head down, fuck it, I'm the man. I went and brought my family, I hope they understand. I went to paint my nails red, I know they gon' get mad. They said, look in the mirror, I'm more Michael Jackson bad. A troublemaker. I wish I knew that when I was in high school. In high school, I'm an entertainer, smoking, rolling papers. Even though I know it's less cool, it's less cool. You said I got no problems, but you just don't know. You said to get your life together, boy, you're 24. So I let my head down, fuck it, I'm the man. I went and brought my family, I hope they understand. I went to paint my nails red, I know they gon' get mad. They said, look in the mirror, I'm more Michael Jackson bad.
You tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish territory, Tsleil-Waututh territory, Squamish territory, here live from the most western part of UBC in the Nest. And you're listening to 101.9 CITR. You were just tuned. If you were just tuned in to Crimes and Treasons, welcome. Welcome to Off the Beaten Path. Yeah, what we like to do here is I got a little bit more energy today because I took last week off as the DJ land. The computer wasn't working, and you know, it felt like, you know, just needed a little bit of space. I feel a little bit energized. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. You ever have like one of those? I feel like I had like a weekend, I'm going to say bender, you know, like that. But, you know, like I probably drank more this weekend than I have just in a long time. And it took a lot of energy out of me. And I feel like today, you know, it was just one of those days where you just wake up and you just feel like, not that everything is going wrong, but everything is just slightly off a little bit, you know. And yeah, but now I feel like going through that day again through the day, you know, I'm here on the radio with y'all. Y'all are chilling with me, and it feels good. And it feels good. We got there's a lot of shit going on, both interesting and weird. Ain't weird. Lots of some violent stuff, but we're tuned in. And so, if you're new here, what we like to do is we like to start off just talking about, you know, talking about the obvious stuff. We like to ease into it and really just get into, how are you doing? you know? You just remind you to just check in with yourself. Just, you know, just feel like, you know, how am I doing? And how am I feeling, you know? It's important. It's important we all take a little bit of time, especially you'll have a lot of time in your house because for the next 2 weeks, basically from today on, it's supposed to rain pretty much every day, pretty much 100%. The one thing I like about the springtime rain, it feels like this May rain, has been that it rains in the morning and leaves my evenings undisturbed. And who wants to be like fully awake at work? So it's so nice to have the rain just pitter-pat in the background so I can just, I feel like my brain gets to like a nice 90% vibration, you know, and just stays there. But it's nice. Anyway, so I think I was going to actually, so you know how on the show we normally start off, we start off with some music, and then we talk about some Vancouver news, and then we talk about some BC news, and then some world news, and add in some funny stories. Well, you know what? I decided to change it up. Right when we get back, we're going to listen to some great new music by this artist that I found on Instagram, and it just really irks me because I think her voice is so beautiful, and I think her song is so nice. And then, but whenever I see her work, like in other videos, people use her audio. They never tag her, and they always change it to for they have the original audio. And I find like, and I, that was like one of the, for me, I'll tell you a little bit later about why I deleted my Instagram. But you know, I felt like that was one of the reasons. It's like, damn, people, they recognize how. They just recognize the like what the song is, you know, and how good the song is. And social media clout is so strong. Like the magnetism to go, you know, to want to go viral so bad that you would just take someone else's work and put your name, you know, just plagiarize it, put your name on it so that it can be your audio that gets gets picked up. It's this fight for this algorithm is so sick. But anyways, her name is Eniko, and then this is her song called A Body.
Feel it all in this friction. You got the right words, got the right diction. Need a rundown, need a description. Heavy rain through the patterns in the distance. Steady hips, lip block, no resistance. Cocaine, baby, you got me addicted. Wrist cold, water frozen, yeah, you frigid.
Let me mention that you're going in the right direction. Mind, body, soul.
I try, but I can't get over you. Star Trek, yeah, I'll take you to moon. I'm a move and I'm a do just how you do. I'm a show you who I am and where I go. Got the wheel, so really I'm in control. Take control. Oh, oh, oh.
Body not here. Body just call me a body. And somebody got here. Yeah. Somebody not, but nobody not there. Had an earthly body and my earthly body ain't here. No, body not, body not. Body not, no, body not.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Isarian. Listen, if you'd like to call in 604-822-2487, that's 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, you can always call in. Talk about how somebody stole your shine. You know, everybody has a story like that. It's frustrating. But like I said, we're going to do this a little bit different, you know. So I deleted my Instagram today. I was just... And Twitter, I just felt like you just, I mean, I feel like I also do this, like, I'm not like, oh, I'm so holier than thou. Like, no, I do this every once in a while where it feels like just too overwhelming. Like, I feel like I used to be able to overpower it. Like, I feel like I am Professor Xavier. And my brain just doesn't have as much power as it once had to deflect and to keep up with the bullshit. Like, I feel like there's just too much bullshit going on. And it feels, I mean, listen, this is the radio show that you come to so that you can, listen, you can just, we don't have to pretend here, you know? We're friends. And I'm sure you are as frustrated with some things as I am. So you can come here, you can feel comfortable. Listen, we're going to vent. And we're just going to talk, you know, we're going to listen, we're going to chat. But also, some of the shit just doesn't make any sense. Like, I feel like that's a common theme, is that some shit just doesn't make any sense. Like, so, like I said, anyways, I had to delete Instagram. I just felt like it was just melting my brain slowly and slowly, just looking constant, you know, comparison, and then just... It feels very self-masturbation. It feels very like mutual masturbation, like almost as bad as LinkedIn. So now the only social media I have on my phone is LinkedIn, and I don't know if that's better or worse. Like some of the things that I would say 90% of the things that are on LinkedIn are absolute garbage. Like I... think it's there's something really sick about it, and you know, I haven't had the fortune to do a project for LinkedIn, but I would just want to I would love to understand how people make the decisions on what to post on LinkedIn, like to post in a way that they would never ever post in anywhere else, right? So I saw a post today that says, today, I am humbled. My 7-year-old nephew created a legitimately designed 10-slide PowerPoint deck with copy, imagery, and all. Step your game up. They're coming for us. # presentation designer. first comment. Wow, they truly are. Now, me, I'm like, I'm here. I like hating on things and killing people's joy. It's like, listen, that post was harmless. Was it really harmless? What was the point? Also, weren't you too, if you were my age or a little younger, we were making PowerPoints and when we were 10 years old, we had decks. We didn't call them decks, you know, because that's not what people call them. They call them presentations. Anyways, it's just like, what is the point of that? Like, I saw somebody today. Now, this might, I saw someone today, a few people actually post in a row that just talk about, like, I'm going to pull one up because it honestly, it was vomit-inducing. And it's people talk about just sharing. There's so much I struggled. I snapped this picture of a lady waiting in line at the gas station. I still have, it just be authentic, they said. So clean up a little bit, you know. And it's just like all of these fake quotes about this motivation, about what people do at work. But honestly, because listen, I've been at my job for 5 years and I like my job. You know, I like my job. I legit like my job. It would be very hard for me to go on and just write a post on LinkedIn just talking about how much I love my job. Like, I don't think that that's, I have a hard time understanding how people find authenticity. Sorry, this is just one big ramble about how, you know, maybe this is just me on the come down from deleting Instagram and Twitter. You don't get those small dopamine hits of just being on the app, just looking, you know, just in learning and seeing infographics and, you know, seeing arguments and stuff like that. Anyways, but LinkedIn, it's not enough conflict on there for me, basically, is what I'm trying to say. There's not enough tension. Like, I feel like people should start talking shit about their jobs and talking about the worst things, or, you know, going on somebody else's post and being like, hey, I actually work there and this job sucks. Like, having more like Glassdoor, except for people are not ready for that type of honesty. Anyways, speaking of someone who likes to work, though, a 100-year-old man, he in Brazil set a Guinness Book of World Record for working at the same company for over 84 years. Now, this man has been working at this company since he was 15 years old, a textiles factory in Brazil. And he was basically, he dropped out of school so he could work, so he could help support his family as the oldest of five. And he's been working there ever since. Now, he says that his philosophy is that you should just find a job you love and just get up and go to work. He says, I don't do much planning nor care about tomorrow. All I care is about is getting up, waking up, exercising, and going to work. You need to get busy with the present, not the past or the future. Here and now is what counts. Now I respect that. I respect that the here and now is what counts. But damn, could you imagine working 84 years at the same company? One, you don't get promoted past manager. And two, you don't even own the damn company. You're working at a company for 84 years and you don't own it. Listen, I don't, there's this, I've been working at my company for five. I said, like, five is great. It could probably have better benefits than this person. And if we were on 2% raise since we started, listen, if he started 85 years ago, I guarantee I make more money than this man. And still, I'm just not that principled. I'm just not that good of a worker where I feel like I would be working at the same company for 84 years if I didn't own it. It doesn't make any sense. Anyways, yeah, people on LinkedIn would, though. That's the thing. Like, or at least they talk like they would, and that's really what bothers me. I don't know why it bothers me so much. You know, just the idea that, like, this man worked for 84 years, and now for one of those years, did the company pay him less than he was, pay him more than he was worth? Every year, they pay him less than he's worth. because every year he's gaining experience. Boom, he's getting paid less. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense why you would just continue to exploit yourself like that. I don't understand. But there's so much stuff going on here in BC, so let's get to some news over here. Like, so I don't know if you know this, because I've never been to this museum, but there's a Burnaby Village Museum, and what they do is they want to showcase, you know, what it was like for a colonial settler in the 1920s. And so what they're going to do now is, as its 50th year anniversary, the museum is taking a closer look at their costumes that the workers wear, and they are going to probably not wear those anymore so that they don't look like colonizers. And it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. You know, like the request to remove the costumes came from a it comes from the Historical Society, so that they can try to not teach that, you know, not teach from the colonial settlers' perspective, particularly wearing their garb, so that people can, I guess, have an open mind about the, you know, so people can, I guess, maybe not get that it's not inherently positive, you know, and not something that we want to continue to replicate. And I think that it's like one of these, I feel like there's going to be a point where what we talk about, particularly when it comes to colonialism, comes to settler colonialism, is going to have to move beyond the symbolic gestures. Like, that is, we are going so slow at trying to sanitize, you know, and continue to make the history a little bit more palatable to learn, you know, for air quotes, everybody. But there's going to be a point where you can't, like, the person who is wearing that costume at the museum teaching about the historic facts is a settler, colonial, you know, colonists or whatever, colonizer, whether they wear it or not, whether they wear the costume or not. It's not like they are, it's like they're dressing up as what they are. I don't know. It doesn't change. But the reality is that, like, you know, people are here, and there has to be some type of reconciliation. And it's like the smallest gestures, I feel like we're seeing, in, you know, in the past, the smallest gestures that's not, like, not asking for very much, where eventually we're going to have to get to a point where you're going to have to address, like, the actual problems. And I find that we have a long way to go. Like, today was announced in California to be Mental Awareness Month of May, is Mental Awareness Month. And I mean, I wonder about, like, we stagger these months, right? So we have agreed that there are so many things that are important in our world for us to have awareness on, and for us to make sure we donate to causes, and for us to make sure that we, you know, we're thinking about these types of things. And so May is Mental Awareness Month and Mental Health Awareness Month. But we have a legit mental health crisis. I find that everybody I know is mentally ill, including myself. It's not like it's not even like an actual, I mean, I would say physical. It feels that the inherent stress of being alive is what makes people go crazy. Like, being alive is so hard. So I understand, you know, like that. It's like, but it feels like we need more than a month. Maybe every month except for June, July, August, you know, the hot months, because, you know, while it's not inherent to the weather, listen, being outside certainly helps. And BC doctors agree, because I don't know if we talked a few weeks ago about how BC doctors could refer National Park as like treatment for people. And so this week, the BC Parks and Recreation Department, they released the statistics, and what they found was that people are overloading and overwhelmed with trying to apply, you know, from their doctor. And it's like crazy. It's like, wow, just going outside, you know, just having a doctor's note to go outside is going to make your life just a little bit better. And people know that this to be true. And so they need this doctor note so that they can get out of work, or that they can at least get their time outside paid for. And how long does it take the government to figure that out? But when we come back, I have a few more BC things to talk about. Honestly, it's crazy because it's getting a little bit more violent, and maybe we'll talk about some specific stories, but I'm going to talk about something specifically I saw on Instagram. Another thing that made me delete it. I have some more new music for you, but first, got a nice advertisement for you from The Slice of Life. Check them out.
Show every Monday night right at 9 p.m. after our opening theme and announcement. So come on by and give your ears a musical workout. 9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
You let me have a piece of you. But that very same piece of you is bitter, and I can't have what's left of you anymore. No more, no more, no more. For you're all that I want, but you know what I need. I keep on making excuses as to why you are good.
You tuned in to Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, there's so much stuff going on here in BC. So, one thing I thought, you know, it was Mother's Day last week, actually. So, Mother's Day, I hope you called your mom on Monday, and or if you weren't able to do that, you know, I hope you got some, spend some time, you know, maybe thinking about some positivity. I learned that 52 years ago, there was a militant Mother's Day, and basically what it was, so I'm sure you all know who Harry Drum is, but Carolyn Drum, I think his mother, and other women locked arms and protested at the railroad so that they could make sure, so that they could ensure that the government, the BC government and the railroad company built an overpass. And so this weekend, if you want to do some community shit, I like doing community stuff. I like going and, you know, and going seeing, and because I'm not from here, like seeing and talking and meeting people who lived here for a long time, particularly I think at this area, near on Kiefer Street, near Hogan's Alley, near like where there's lots of historical societies, Chinatown, and there's lots of history of not just being, but, you know, persevering through, you know, some pressures from the dominant culture. And so if you would like to go at the overpass on Kiefer Street, the green metal structure, there will be a ceremony celebrating the women and what they stood up for. And I think that, you know, in our time right now, it's pretty fitting and pretty sad that, you know, we have, we still have to fight for these basic rights, and women are doing a lot of the fighting and a lot of the work, particularly when it comes to here domestically, and a lot of the causes and things that we fight for, which seem to be, you would imagine would be fundamental, but have proven to be not. But anyways, from 11 to 2 down at what does it say? It doesn't give an exact address in the it's just Kiefer Street. I guess it's called the Militant Mothers of Raymer Overpass. So you can just Google that and you could check it out. I will probably go because, like I said, I like seeing, you know, just what's being celebrated in the neighborhood and when new signs go up and things like that. And so I know that if you are listening to the show, maybe you're listening from the States, and maybe you're listening from BC, and maybe you have American friends, or you maybe you are American yourself. And so what you have, I feel like we have been, I wouldn't say bombarded, it feels like a carpet bomb of news just about how Republicans are trying to bring us back to 1972, you know, and instead of 2002. And if you haven't heard, what basically is the Supreme Court has challenged Roe v. Wade, and Roe versus Wade is basically was a court case that amended the law so that the federal government could prohibit states from having anti-abortion laws. And so basically it protected abortion federally, and abortion as a a gateway, but like, as you know, as a fundamental right of women to be able to choose whether they would like to have an abortion or not. Like, it's not, it feels a little antiquated to be pro-choice now when you have to be, it feels you have to be pro-abortion. If you are pro-choice, it feels like you have to take another step, because one of the things that's so frustrating is that feels that we are standing still. I say we, people who are not they're part of the GOP, are standing still, and they're dragging. It's like tug of war, where we're not moving our you got to move your feet. We're not moving our feet. We're just dragging, being dragged, and even when it's so frustrating, even when the rulings are not popular, generally, and people have no idea even the reasons. Anyways, and it's so frustrating because Kamala Harris gave the commencement speech at Tennessee State University, and she says in her speech, women may lose the right to make decisions about their bodies. And like, I don't understand how the vice president of the United States could basically say, oh, we thought those rights were fundamental, but we found out that they're not. And it's on you to make sure that you protect your rights. And then expect you to like vote for these people again for them to protect our rights. Like, it doesn't make it, like, I find that I feel like this is the most infuriating part about being an American citizen, is that, you know, you are supposed to vote, and we're supposed to live in a democracy where people believe what's popular is what the country wants. So, I mean, we have marijuana, you know, I think it's like 80-something% of people believe it should be decriminalized, can't get it decriminalized. I think 73% of people believe in that abortion should be allowed, at least up to 12 weeks or something like that. And yet it's still, you know, we still have the federal government still debating on this. So I'm like, why the fuck are y'all even talking about this shit? Like, isn't this so far beyond us? I find that's the most frustrating part. It is that we are talking about things. It's so wild. Like, in one breath, these people can say, you need to move on. It's like, you know, talk about racism. You need to move on. That's in the past. We need to focus on the future, focus on coming together, even though they don't believe that. But, you know, focus on coming together, you know, ignoring what happened in the past, and let's focus on getting, you know, moving forward. Yet at the same people can't even move past something that absolutely has not to do with them. It's, if you don't want an abortion, don't get an abortion. This has nothing to do with you. You know, it's very interesting because me and my friends, I have some friends in a group chat, and so it's all dudes, you know, and we were just talking about, like, I mean, I don't think this is would be a normal conversation. I mean, I have lots of friends that are dudes. This is the only one that came up. Anyways, we were talking about, you know, our experiences with abortion. One of my friends talked about, you know, himself getting a vasectomy, like, as a, with his, as, like, part activism, part, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing my part, you know, like that. But also talking about our experiences, you know, and our experiences and how, like, you know, how we went about it, or how it happened, or, you know, how we treated our partner at the time, you know, and just things like that. And it was just very interesting conversation to have about it. And because I feel like that's not something we talk about, you know, abortion as it rightly is so, you know, to be the woman's choice and with the woman's body. But I've never really had a conversation like that with my friends before about it. So it was just, anyways, I just felt like this last past week has led to some interesting conversations, but also these conversations don't mean shit because, like, these laws are popping up, and it feels like every time you're like, oh, okay, that law was sensationalized in this state. And then you read another state and you're like, wow, that actually is crazy. You know, like that. It feels like this perpetual outrage machine, but it's not just outrage. It's actual, like, Democrats being like, hey, you actually need to fight for your human rights now. And it's like, well, I thought we were just talking about student loans. Anyways, they find a way to fuck it up. And but hey, you know, we'll be right back here in October and nothing will change and we won't do a damn thing. Right now, they actually just burned down the yesterday, they burned down the former prime minister of Pakistan's house because they were protesting there because of the ways that people are treated. You saw, I don't know if you saw last week in France, they burned down banks because they raised interest rates and unemployment continues to rise. And in the United States, we get on LinkedIn and we beg our employer for just some Vaseline. So it's pretty sad. We're in pretty bad shape. I'm going to be honest. But you know who's not in bad shape? IDK and Denzel Curry. They got a fire song called Dog Food, and you're about to listen to it.
It's 11 o'clock on a dot, I'm on a block. Ain't no time for no sleeping, a yawn and no whatnot. 12 running around creeping and peeping for the drop. We be moving with caution, the block is really hot.
The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot.
They tried to frisk me, want me hot. Incarcerated, I won't be hot. I run and hit the corner hot. I'm headed for the border hot. Mix the weed with water hot. Sold it to my auntie hot. Hungry, I can't be hot. So I sell it to my family. I hope they don't sing like they tryna win a Grammy. I hope it ain't an act like they tryna win an Emmy. I'm tryna get a nut, so I'm moving like I'm Sandy. I'm living underwater, I don't know how I can't breathe. Maybe it's the scuba diver air tank. Maybe it's to do it when they say I can't. Maybe it's the is what they say I ain't. But either way, I ain't taking that bait.
It's 11 o'clock on a dot, I'm on a block. Ain't no time for no sleeping, a yawn and no whatnot. 12 running around creeping and peeping for the drop. We be moving with caution, the block is really hot.
The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is
really cold in the wintertime, cold in the summer, cold when the wind blows,
cold like December. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's gonna be cold anyway.
The block's definition of hot. I be assembly. I know the definition of op. That be the enemy. I seen a lot of brothers get popped. We pouring Hennessy, and God forbid a nigga get locked, cause they ain't ten of me. Diaz, Buenos Dias, to Senoritas. We moving units by the kiosk for fly Adidas. Forever eating like a meat eye, a pack of heat eye. We lurking just to catch you lacking, like we on cheetahs. Free us, rip us, long live us. We try to grab the plate of what the crackers won't give us. Most of my niggas never had a Thanksgiving, so instead of giving thanks, my niggas taking what's given. You know what it is, set the city on fire. Girl, free to titty if you don't wear a wire. When it comes to paper, that's the shit that I require. When it comes to power, that's the shit that I desire. For real.
It's 11 o'clock on a dot, I'm on a block. Ain't no time for no sleeping, no yawning, no whatnot. 12 running around creeping and peeping for the drop. We be moving with caution, the block is really hot.
The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is hot. The block is hot, the block is
really cold in the wintertime, cold in the summer.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 that CITR.ca if you're listening to it. Hey, so we're gonna do, I just like now this is gonna be horrible for, like, I was just saying, for my mental health, it's gonna be fucking horrible. So, you know, now that I deleted Instagram and I deleted Twitter, now what do I have to scroll? Like, while I'm listening to the songs, I'm just reading, getting ready for the next story, you know. Also scrolling on LinkedIn. Listen, there's gonna be a segment every week. It's going to be what's the worst LinkedIn post you've seen this week? And I'm going to find them. I am going to find the worst ones. And you can call in at 604-822-2487. And you can call in with yours. Also, if you see mine and you're like, damn, you say that's cringe, you can call in and you can say, you can call and you can roast me. I hope you're ready for the jokes back. Moving on to there's so many. So basically, you know how we love scams. We love scams on the show. We love a good scam. There's been a plenty. There's been plenty scams. A woman says she was scammed almost $7,000 by a fake taxi operation in Richmond, BC. Now, I don't want to say that. I almost got scammed, but obviously I sniffed it out because, listen, we are a scammer. I wanted to see how far I could go. It was dangerous, but wanted to see how far I could go. I'll tell you the story after. But so basically there's a new scam going on where young men are, you know, hanging out in parking lot and saying that they don't have enough for a taxi fare. So what happens is you say, hey, no problem, I can help you out. And you, the taxi pulls up, and obviously the taxi is a fake taxi, but not that fake taxi, a different fake taxi. And so they basically give you the card. They give you the card machine. You put your card in there. You type your PIN in. They take your card out and then swap it with another card. And basically what happens is they then have your card, your magnetic stripe, and then they take it and they spend all the money. And basically this has been happened a few times. While there are some red flags, obviously, if the cab doesn't take cash or it just seems, you know, if they don't have a permit or it just seems a little suspicious, then you obviously don't want to get caught. But helping Good Samaritans has almost got me caught. So there was this one time I was coming from football practice, and I'm sure this might have got you. So this man, I'm walking to the parking lot, and this man walks up to me. He's like, hey, can you help me get some gas? And I'm like, I'm feeling good, you know. I like helping people. I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, okay, well, we're at the gas station. I'm like, all right, you know, I walk up to the car. I was like, all right, I'll give you some gas, you know, put some gas in your car. He was like, well, can you just give me the cash? And I was like, this is a scam. I'm going to see where it's going to go. And then he's like, you know, I got this ring. I got this gold ring. I'll sell it to you if you can give me, you know, $100, $200. And I was like, damn, how did this man know I wanted a gold ring? But I was like, hey, the ATM is broken, because I obviously knew the shit was some shenanigans. But he was like, can I drive you to the next one? I was like, hell nah. So I think I walked to the gas station, and I was just like, oh, we could just tell something suspicious. But he kept walking further and further, closer to my house, until I just ended up just walking home. I was like, hey man, you know, you're short. But anyways, there are people out here scamming, especially if you like helping people and you feel you're feeling a little bit good one day. Don't help anybody. That's the moral of the story. Leave them on the side of the street, stranded. Doesn't matter if the wife was with them or not. You got to cut your losses. So one of these things. So while if I didn't know the school, this is a story about police profiling. So buckle up. If I didn't know the school, maybe you don't know the school, you wouldn't think this was suspicious, right? So police officers stop a lacrosse bus, a college lacrosse team, women's lacrosse team, and need to search the bus. They say that lacrosse teams are notorious for smuggling drugs, and they need to search the bus. Now, had I not known the school, I would have said, you're probably right. I know lots of lax bros, lots of lax girls. They do drugs. And maybe these lax bros and lax girls do drugs, but this was the Delaware State lacrosse team. Now, if you don't know Delaware State is an HBCU. It's historically black college and university. And they were, I would say, if I had to bet money, if I had to bet the, you know, like on FanDuel, was this racial profiling? I would say 100%. They were traveling from Liberty County, Georgia, southwest of Savannah, and they were returning home from their final game of the season at Stetson. And basically, the bus driver was pulled over, and they said that they were going to search their bags for contraband. Now, listen, if you've ever played college sports, you would know that it was pretty dumb to bring drugs on the bus. Now, if you were on a 3-game away road trip from Delaware, all the way down to Georgia, Tennessee, back to Georgia, and back up to Delaware, it's like, that's days, 3 games, probably like a whole week. No way they brought enough drugs for a whole week and planned it out so that they could do them on the bus once they get back. That would be stupid. Anyways, you know, we talked a little bit about taking, you know, getting out of those colonial clothes doesn't actually change what the, you know, like the people underneath it and the mindset. And yeah, it's pretty sad. But you know what's not sad? Funny scam stories. We'll go back to some funny shit. So a woman stole $200,000 of watches from a Miami man after he met her at a club and went home with him. Now, this is like the kind of things that I feel that if you invite a stranger in your home, you should expect them to steal something. Like, why do you think strangers are coming to your house? Like, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Like, I'm surprised girls are not stealing from dudes more often. Like, when dudes just bring anybody into the house. Like, I could just not imagine the level of horny in Miami and the level of horny rich dude that is just willing to invite people back to their house in Miami. And I'm surprised that more people don't get stolen from. Now, they say she stole $200,000 worth of watches. Now, if you're looking at this girl on her elevator on her way out, it looks like, I mean, she doesn't have much of a purse or anything like that. It looks, probably was just like one watch, which is crazy that this woman is going to said like, if a felony is over $1,000, that's, she could do 200 felony counts of grand larceny or something like that. Damn. Oh well. But I think women should get away with that type of stuff. It's or at least try it. So damn. There's so much stuff that happened, that so much weird stuff happened over this past week and over the past 2 weeks, really. What would you do? Like, so as we talked about stolen watches, we talk about like, there's like, that's like a scam on a small scale. So there's scams, big scale scams. Say that 5 times fast. But a U.S. Customs agent seizes hundreds of fake Rolex watches worth over $10.1 million. Now, this is something that I find that is pretty interesting, or I don't actually feel like we have a reason for like why customs agents exist, you know, like besides like stopping drugs. Like, I find that I'm not really concerned with the type of you know, with Rolex fake Rolex watches. Like, I'm like, yeah, they should be able to sell them. Like, why should our federal police officers be doing Rolex is police work. Like, you know what? Rolex should make their watches so good that they are impossible to be faked. Like, I feel like that is a Rolex problem and not a U.S. taxpayer problem. And so then it made me think about just how much money that customs, you know, Canadian customs or U.S. customs waste on stopping counterfeit goods from big brands. And like, while I understand that, you know, there's like safety concerns and that there are other concerns besides the fact that people would just buy fake merchandise, it doesn't seem like a good use of the money, particularly when these companies don't pay very much or if anything in taxes anyways, that we have basically the federal government being their private police officers. Well, I mean, which is what they are, but I don't feel like it needs to be so blatant all the time. You know, like, I feel like sometimes they should leave things up to mystery rather than just put things in our faces, because it feels a little bit disrespectful. And like I said, they're burning their prime minister's house down in Pakistan because they are fed up. And everywhere else, they seem to be pretty fed up. Like, I wonder, like, what it would take for someone in the, like, for, like, the United States for that to happen? Like, how pissed off would people have to be? What would they have to be pissed off at? Like, I feel like we just have a fundamental issue that there's a large group of people that just don't think that other people are actual people. So they'll never quite be on their side because they lack the ability to believe that other people are human, you know? And so when you do that, you can't fight alongside of someone who you don't believe to be human, no matter how right they are. I think I read, I read The Wayfinders, the book by Wade Davis, and, you know, talking about how the British sea captains as an anthropologist, couldn't even imagine a world where they would understand that the native people had such a rich understanding of seafaring and sea navigation and celestial patterns and, and the waves and speed and all of these things, because they didn't believe these people to be smart or to be human. So any knowledge that they had was immediately discounted. And so I find that, like, that's one thing that's sucks about America, is that, like, through all of our multiculturalism, you know, and air quotes melting pot, we can't get with really any singular perspective. And so this was a story which was made for Off the Beaten Path, but it was really sad. So if you listen to me before and you like, you like the shit I like Love After Lockup. It's one of my favorite shows. And so, you know, the premise of Love After Lockup, you should check it out. It's the best show on TV. Start from the beginning, though. And it's about, like, people who fall in love with inmates and then they get out and they live a happy, happy life together. And it shows their life. And sometimes it's filled with drama, but oftentimes it's just fueled from pure love and passion. Anyways, Vicky White, a corrections officer at a prison in, this is not in Florida. I just assumed. I lied. It's in Indiana. A correctional officer at a facility in Indiana helped her boyfriend and inmate, Casey White, escape. She sold her house for 50% of market value and then was basically on the run for the last 4 days. So they were spotted at a hotel, and when they fled the scene, basically and they were led into a police chase where Vicky shot herself and then died. So, and then her ex-boyfriend was then picked up, and now he's back in jail. So she sold her house for $100,000. 4 days later, was dead in a police chase for some prison penis. Now, if you watch Love After Lockup, this won't surprise you, because these people who are fall in love in prison are criminally horny. Like, that's a lot of times the crime that they are guilty of is being horny as fuck. And listen, if you're too horny, it can cause death. We do this every week. I'm Issa Arian. Tune in Tuesday from 8 to 10, Crimes and Treasons, 10 to 11, Off the Beaten Path. Listen, Tuesday is your day. And I'm out.
The 21st edition of Doxa Documentary Film Festival returns May 5th to 15th, 2022. Committed to cultivating curiosity and critical